Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called Growing in the Seasons of Life. In these teachings, Pastor Rick shows you how to make the most of the seasons of life, no matter which one you're in. In just a little while, we're going to tell you about a one-of-a-kind resource that will help you draw closer to Jesus. It's called the Journey with Jesus Deluxe Gift Book. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Season of Temptation.
Anticipate the problem, accept responsibility, ask God for help. Number four, you serious about overcoming temptation, the habits, the hang-ups, the hurts that mess up your life? I need to, number four, admit my struggle to a friend. Now, you don't have to admit it to everybody. You know, you don't go out and blab it to the whole schoolyard. Or, you know, you don't go on 60 Minutes and say, here's my secret sin. It just means you need to admit it to somebody close, and it needs to be a Christian who will love you, accept you, and pray for you. You need to associate with people who can help. You need to build a support network around you for the areas that you're weak in. You need to reinforce good intentions. I heard a story about a pastor years and years ago in the last century. He was talking to an Indian chief who had become a Christian. And yet the Indian chief was talking about the temptation in his mind, and he said it's like two dogs, a good dog and a bad dog, fighting with each other. And the pastor said to the chief, well, which dog wins? He said, the one I feed. The one I feed. Now, you need to reinforce the good relationships in your life, and you need to de-emphasize and some even cut off bad relationships in your life that are taking you in the wrong direction. The Bible says bad company corrupts good character. And so you need to make some breaks here. And then you admit your problem to a close friend who can help you. Now, I know some of you are thinking, Rick, I don't need a support group in my life because I don't struggle with anything. And there's a good Hebrew word for that, hogwash. The very fact that you're afraid to admit your weaknesses means one of the things you're struggling with is insecurity. Why do you think people don't want to share their problems with others? They're insecure. It comes out in the form of pride, but what's behind pride? Behind pride is a very scared person. Anytime you meet somebody who has to build them up, build themselves up over and over and over, behind that, it's like the little guy on The Wizard of Oz who was, you know, moving all the things behind the curtain. You pull back the curtain, he's just a little nerd. And you're afraid somebody's going to figure out you're a nerd. You may look like Joe Cool, but inside, you're a nerd. And so you don't want to admit to anybody your weaknesses, your faults, your failures, your fears, your feelings, your habits, hurts, or hang-ups. Which means all the more you need to do it. The fact is, we all struggle with the exact same temptations. Did you know that? We all struggle with the exact same temptations. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians, notice on your outline, chapter 10, verse 13. Remember this, the wrong desires that come into your life, that means the things that you're embarrassed about, you don't want anybody to know, those secret sins you don't want anybody to know about, they aren't anything new and different. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before you. We're all in the same boat because we're all human beings. Now, God wants us to help each other. And He wants us to help each other so much that He has made as a prerequisite to healing that you share your faults with somebody else. It is the prerequisite to healing. Look at James chapter 5, verse 16. Admit your sins to who? To who? I'm going to ask it a third time. Admit your sins to who? To each other. And so that you may be healed. Now, what I'd like to do is let's take 5 minutes right now. Turn to the person next to you. Share them your deepest sin, all right? Oh, you think I'm joking? The visitors are all getting really uptight right now. But notice, it doesn't say admit it to a priest. or a pastor, although that can help. It doesn't say admit it to a counselor, although that can help. It says to each other. To each other. And it says, so you may be healed. He's saying, don't repress it, confess it. He's saying, don't conceal it, reveal it. He said, get it off your chest. It is the prerequisite to healing. Revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. And hiding a hurt always intensifies it. People say time heals all wounds. That's a bunch of baloney. If time healed all wounds, try sitting in a doctor's office. Will that make you well? No. In fact, time just festers wounds. It makes them worse. Time does not heal cancer. Surgery, radiation, and chemo heals cancer. Time will not heal that hurt, that resentment in your life. You need to deal some spiritual surgery on it. You need to deal with it dramatically. And the way you do it is by sharing it with a friend who can pray with you and encourage you and counsel you and help you. You know, as a pastor, people tell me, of course, all kinds of things that they'll never tell anybody else. And when somebody comes to me and they say to me, you know, Pastor Rick, and their bottom lip starts to tremble and their eyes get all misty and their face kind of tightens up and they go, you know, Rick, I've never shared this with anybody in the whole world until now. When they say that to me, I get so excited because I know relief is about to happen. They're taking the first step to recovery. The door is going to be open. The light's going to be turned on. The boogeyman's going to be exposed for who he is. And they are going to experience for the first time in their life relief because they shared their deepest secret with another human being. That's the way God set it up in this world. Confess your faults to each other and pray for each other so that you will be healed. And I know relief is on the way. Before they even tell me what it is, they're already starting the healing process by the willingness to do that.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. Now, if you'd like to connect with Pastor Rick online, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. You can also sign up for his free daily email devotional. That's PastorRick.com.
As Jesus made his way to Calvary on the road called the Via Dolorosa, which translates to the way of suffering, there were 15 stops he made along the way, which hold tremendous significance for every Christian. Since many of us may not be able to travel to Jerusalem to visit this place, Pastor Rick Warren has created a beautifully illustrated book called Journey with Jesus that will give you a way to celebrate, reflect, and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. This book is stunning. It has a soft vegan leather cover and is filled with beautiful glossy photographs and colored mosaics that depict the sacrificial journey Jesus made to save us from our sins. The narrative will give you deep biblical insight into the most important event in human history. This powerful resource makes a meaningful gift. It is only available through Daily Hope, and we'll send it to you when you support this ministry with a financial gift. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004, or visit PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. There's only 2 days left to get this great study tool, so don't wait.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
Now, there are three dramatic benefits for sharing your temptations with a person or a small group of people who can pray for you. You need to write these down. Three benefits. Number one, the first benefit is it helps you gain control. Talking about any problem always helps you gain control over it. Just even talking about it gives you a semblance of control for that problem. Let me say it in the opposite way. If you have a hurt or you've got a hang up or you've got a secret sin in your life and you can't talk about it to anybody, it's out of control. Because you can't even talk about it. So it's so much bigger than it really is because you don't talk about it. The second benefit is that it relieves inner stress. When you reveal your hurt, reveal your habit, reveal your hang-up, reveal your fear to a friend, it's liberating. And when you get in a small group, or like a support group or recovery group, and you begin to share your real self, who you really are, you know what you find out? You start finding out as they share their issues, you go, I didn't know anybody else ever felt like that. I just thought I was the only one who had ever felt that way. You see, some of you think, well, I can't share this because Christians aren't supposed to struggle with this. Who said? Who said? You say, well, Christians aren't supposed to struggle with this problem. Who said? Christian, you don't stop being a human being when you become a believer. Listen, the problems of unbelievers and believers are identical. The only difference is believers have a source of power greater than themselves to work on it, and unbelievers don't. In this group here today, probably every problem and every sin known to man is sitting in a chair right there. Either it's in your life or in somebody next to you. Why? Because we're all in the same boat. It's called humanity. So there is no sin, quote, that Christians don't struggle with. What we need to do is just be honest about that and say, yeah, we're struggling with this and let's get help. And that's why we have this parade of testimonies sharing, and we've gone through the gamut, as you know, of people not getting up here saying, well, thank God, my life's perfect. I haven't sinned in 30 years. The third benefit is that it provides support and accountability. And you have to have both of those in order to be healed of a habit or a hang-up or a hurt. You need support and you need accountability. Now, there is somebody here in this audience, and I don't know who this is for, but I do know God wants me to say this. Somebody here has a secret sin, and you know what it is, and I don't, but you know what it is. And you're hiding it, and you have thought this. I'm not going to share it with anybody, but I'm just going to discreetly fix it myself. And then once it's fixed, then I can tell a story about how God helped me after it's all over. But I don't want to share my problem with anybody right now because it would be too embarrassing. And so I'm not going to tell anybody about my secret sin because I'm a Christian and Christians shouldn't have this sin. And so I'm just going to fix it myself. And this is what God wants to say to you. You're not going to get well. You're not going to get well. Did you hear that? You're not going to get well. You're not going to get better on your own. You haven't, and you're not going to. You may as well quit fooling yourself, quit kidding yourself. You need other people to help you get out of it. And you're not going to get well, never, on your own. You say, but if I admit this to a person, that's humbling. You bet it is. And the Bible says God gives grace to the humble. Grace is the power you need to change. And as long as you're on a prideful, insecure trip that says, I can't let anybody see that I'm not perfect, you're not going to get well. You need somebody to help you walk through it. Preferably somebody who's already been through it or is just a step ahead. Now, when it came to this message this week, I had literally hundreds and hundreds of testimonies I could have chosen from. But I wanted you to hear just a typical story. And so I want you to welcome John. Give him a warm welcome.
I'd like to share with you that how even after becoming a Christian, I continued failing with the reoccurring temptation until I accepted responsibility for it, asked God to help me, and learned to share my struggle with some Christian friends. God has blessed me with my beautiful wife, Renee, and five wonderful children, Ashley, who's 7, Brittany and Dylan, who are 5, and Carly and Chloe, who are 17 months. and two sets of twins. Okay. The Lord led me to begin a tax consulting business almost a year ago, and He's blessed it. We live in Lake Forest and are surrounded by great friends. We have attended Saddleback since 1990 and became members in 1993. That is what I do, but let me tell you who John really is. I'm a believer who struggles with alcoholism. Even after becoming a believer, I saw nothing wrong with celebrating my baptism on July 12, 1993 by going home and drinking a 12-pack. I had used alcohol and marijuana since I was 16 years old, and I felt a little conviction each time, but it was quickly covered up by a couple of beers. I never learned how to deal with life on life's terms. I was in sales for 5 years prior to my tax consulting business. When a deal closed, it was time to drink to celebrate. And when a deal didn't, it was time to drink to forget. Unfortunately, my wife and my children bore the brunt of this behavior. My behavior caused many, many heated discussions between my wife and I. And I was also not aware of it, but my children were growing more and more fearful of me. I'm a functioning alcoholic. That means I don't miss work. I've never had a 502. I never drank during work because only alcoholics drink during work. In fact, we attended Saddleback Church regularly. But Sunday afternoon was set aside for what I called social drinking with neighbors and watching sports. My behavior, as destructive as it may have been, was to me absolutely normal. Everyone I knew drank to one degree or another. I could not admit I had a problem because I didn't think I had a problem. God continued to bless my family, and we bought our first home in 1993. It was shortly after the purchase that I really began to drink heavily. I simply could not resist the temptation to drink. My willpower was not enough. Possibly it was my feeling that I didn't deserve it, or having to accept responsibility for much higher house payments. In any case, my consumption of alcohol did increase. I would isolate in my garage, not wanting to be a part of the family that God had so richly blessed me with. In February 1994, my oldest child, Ashley, came out to the garage to see me. I was standing outside the garage, standing next to the trash cans, when this little five-year-old red-headed angel looked up to me with those big brown eyes in a way that only a child can, asked me, "Daddy, why do you drink beer? You're mean when you drink beer." I tried to think of an answer, but I couldn't. She walked away, and that question just echoed in my mind. An honest question from my beloved Ashley broke the ice. Maybe I did have a problem after all, a drinking problem. I wish I could stand here and say that I began to avoid tempting situations and depended on God's help for me to stop drinking, but I didn't. 2 days before my 30th birthday that year in June, I was drunk and a guy used my face for a punching bag. For the first time, I had to admit to myself that I did have a problem. Of course, I still couldn't admit it to anybody else. I thought, I can fix myself. I didn't ask God for help. I tried to face it alone on my own power, but I kept failing every single time. Finally, in August of 1994, Renee, my wife, had had enough. She called my parents from Los Angeles and told them what was happening. They came down and offered to put me in a rehab house if that's what it took. My mom also called Pastor John and asked about Saddleback's recovery program called Celebrate Recovery. I agreed to go on Tuesday nights to a men's chemically dependent meeting called The First 90 Days. We met outside in the parking lot under the stars. What I found was a bunch of guys just like me who were going through the same struggles together. They had found that by admitting their struggles and temptations to each other, accepting responsibilities for their actions, and especially by affirming God's word in their life, that the temptation and obsession of drugs and alcohol could be overcome. This group had just begun step one and were studying how many great men of the Bible had their selfish pride broken down by God before God could use them for His will. This prodigal son had come home, and my heavenly Father, who had been waiting intently for me, welcomed me home. I finally got honest enough to admit my problem, not only to myself and to God, but also to a group of Christian guys who were working to recover too, and it felt very good. It's almost been 2 years since my last drink, and while the obsession to drink has been lifted, the temptation to drink can arise at any time. Just last Sunday, our family went to our friend's home. I was out in their backyard enjoying the view of God's creation of the valley here. My friend came out back with me, and he had just opened a bottle of ice-cold beer. He sat it in front of me, and then remembered he had forgotten something in the house. He went back in, and there I was, face to face with an ice cold bottle of beer. You know how a cold bottle kind of sweats and the bubbles come rising to the top, you know. It was a hot day. Anyway, curiosity or the devil won, they got the best of me, and I picked it up. This beer was cold, and the sweat moistened my hands. But God, true to his word, provided me with a way out. I put the beer down, and I got up, and I went in the house, and I grabbed a Coke. I thank God that I didn't have to live like that anymore. With his strength in me, I now have the power to say no to this type of temptation. In closing, let me say that regardless of what hurt or hang-up or temptation you are dealing with, there are people in this church who will love you, help you, and walk with you through this.
Now, the exciting thing about that story is I could have asked 500, maybe 1,000 other people in our church family to give that identical story, only in some other area of temptation. Because that's what growth in Christ is all about. God gives you power to change areas that you cannot change on your own. Once you have admitted your area of temptation to a friend, to a support group, to a recovery group, whatever, you're ready for step 5. Avoid tempting situations. Now, you know, it's just common sense, folks, that if you hang around a barber shop long enough, you're eventually going to get a haircut. If you don't want to get stung, stay away from the bees. If you don't want to get burned, don't get close to the fire. If you don't want to fall off the cliff, don't hang over the ledge. You go, wow, it's a long way down. The goal is not how close to the temptation can I get and not get burned. The goal is how far away can I keep from it? Proverbs 14:16. A wise man turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. A fool goes, I can handle this. Who are you kidding? You don't go to a bar just to eat pretzels.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you missed anything or would like to find out more about this ministry, just go to PastorRick.com. Here's Rick to tell you about a very special gift edition book called Journey with Jesus.
Every year, Christians from all over the world remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ by traveling to Jerusalem, where they walk the path that Jesus took on the way to the cross. That path is called the Via Dolorosa, which literally means the way of suffering. I want to suggest a way for you to celebrate and reflect on and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. So I've created a brand new one-of-a-kind resource that will take you through the 15 stops that the Bible tells us Jesus took on the road to Calvary and his death on the cross. Now, we're calling this resource Journey with Jesus. Journey with Jesus is a deluxe hardcover gift edition book that's illustrated with really beautiful photos, high quality glossy photos of mosaic tile artwork that reflect each of the stops that Jesus made on his journey to the cross. You're not ever going to forget this gift. It's a great gift book to keep and to study over and over again, and it'd make a great gift for your family and your friends too. This gift book is available when you donate to Daily Hope this month.
We'll send you Journey with Jesus as our way of saying thanks when you support this ministry with a financial gift. You want to get extra copies to give as gifts to your friends and family members. This one-of-a-kind resource is only available through Daily Hope. Quantities are limited, so be sure to get yours today. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004, or just visit PastorRick.com. There's only 2 days left to get this great study tool, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.